right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Why would we be playing the Goonies theme song? Because the Goonies theme song, the video for this song, as sung by Cyndi Lauper, featured a bevy of wrestlers, including Captain Lou Albano, who died today. It's like a train of logic.
Yeah, there's a train, all right.
It gets off track a little bit, but it's there.
We are indeed.
It was either that or Do the Mario. Those were your two choices. So we went Goonies.
Still got that closing song. Oh, no, he died, so that's kind of wrapped up. So, yes, we are mourning the loss of the great Captain Lou Albano.
76 years young.
Yes. And,
except he looked like 110.
Well, we had occasion... before we get into that, we should say this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It is.
Episode 167, God Needed Rubber Bands.
Right.
And those of you in the know will get that joke. Captain Lou, a professional wrestler, manager guy.
Mario.
Quite a character. Who, a legend in that business, certainly. We had occasion to sit down and speak with Captain Lou on a number of occasions where we...
Sat next to him a couple of times.
Yeah, we shared convention space with the captain a couple of times. And of course, when we weren't near him, we were near some people who had stories about him. So
right,
and everybody has a story about Captain Lou. So
right,
very sad.
I'm guessing you're probably going to hear some stories about him this weekend. Although by the time you hear this weekend will have passed. But
that's true.
This weekend meaning Big Apple.
Big Apple. Con,
last yeah, weekend.
Meaning Big Apple. Last weekend.
We heard a lot of stories about him last weekend at the. Did you enjoy that Big Apple Con?
It was great.
I had a great time.
I can see the Wizard improvements that have been made were clearly evident. And
God, I hope it didn't suck.
I had such a great time. All the wonderful guests and everything. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, we met some awesome fans.
Good time. Do you want to tell people about what we did on Saturday night and where we were and who was there?
It was, we went out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to give the name of our location because then it would be like, you know, next year if we want to go back, it'll be flooded by the masses.
Do you actually know the name of the location?
No fuck.
And what time we were there?
We were there immediately following the con.
Oh, immediately following the con?
Immediately following the con.
Okay.
We ate.
We did eat and drank.
So they had food and drink there.
And there was a bevy of Geekerdome and geek stuff and, you know, creators, fans, etc.
And they were actually there.
They were actually physically there.
And they all knew that we were meeting there, so they met us there.
That's correct.
And there was a place and a time, and it was all organized and orderly.
That is, I'm not going to give you orderly, but I'll give you all the other things.
Okay. That's funny because, you know, at this time last week, my understanding was that most of those plans were still up in the air.
Exactly. Amazing how well these things can come together at the last minute.
I heard some stuff.
Bazinga.
I did hear Bazinga this week. They're really trying to work Bazinga in.
That's okay, because I approve.
Okay.
I approve of Bazinga.
Well, I'm glad we had a good time, despite the fact that it seemed like an unorganized mess a week ago.
Well, if some people would just make up their goddamn minds.
Who in particular hasn't?
No one in particular.
Make up their mind. I'm losing track of the...
I'm just saying. Let's move on with the show.
It was Marie, wasn't it?
No, I did not say that. I did not mention any names
or persons
involved.
I'm just saying, because she's a girl, and you know how they get. Are the Timonies... were the Timonies there?
I heard they were there, but I didn't actually see them, so they may have been there.
Oh, okay, because I would like to have seen them.
Can we move on with
the show? I'm losing track of the... What is that, the tents? I'm losing the tents.
You're losing your mind.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Venom, Spider-Man, in the news this week.
Yes, last week we talked about Todd McFarlane's return to the character of Venom, or as he's now known, Haunt, and as it's now known, From Image.
I looked at that picture again. So sad.
It's sad. You're right. It's sad. It's like a kid that can't read.
Go on.
So the writer of Spider-Man 4, who we have previously heard will be Gary Ross, is also going to be penning the Venom script. That's what we hear this week. So hopefully that means that maybe there will be some continuity between those two films.
Now, we should say that most Marvel films tend to focus on their continuity, with the exception of X2 to X3. That continuity seemed to go out the fucking window. But more or less, Marvel has been trying to maintain continuity in their films, which we always find very odd considering they really could give a shit about it in their books.
Right.
So,
you know, while we're talking about Venom, I also heard, and this is an update to last week, but Topher Grace in Predators also.
Yes,
alongside
I heard that too.
Adrian Brody.
What the fuck is it? The Battle of the Skinny Guys versus what the hell?
I don't know. I'm just...
Topher Grace is like half the size of Adrian Brody.
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Just saying.
Okay.
Roland Emmerich. Why is he in the news?
He's a director.
I understand that.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Why is he in the news about movies that are irrelevant at this point? Would you agree? You know where this is going, man.
I absolutely know where this is going.
So would you agree that the two movies I'm about to mention are probably mostly irrelevant as far as his involvement in them at this point?
At this point, there's no reason that you should be in the news.
Okay. So then Roland Emmerich, in an interview this week, discussed two sequels that he was interested or would be interested in pursuing given the opportunity and right circumstances.
Okay.
The first one would be ID4. But he would only be interested in doing it.
Independence Day.
Right. Independence Day.
Right.
He would only be interested in doing it if Will Smith were still interested in doing it. This is a movie that clearly could have done very well with the sequel. 10 years ago.
The year or two after the first one.
Right.
It would be almost laughable to come out now.
If you think that is ridiculous, because I think it's ridiculous that ID4 is coming up and sequel is attached to it. But here's one that's even more silly and retarded. Stargate. He envisions Stargate. It's a trilogy of movies.
How the fuck are you going to do another Stargate movie? You have 10 years of SG-1, 5 years of Atlantis, well, and 3 episodes of SGU.
Clearly, they would be ignoring those in preference of a film continuity.
Right. And while I appreciate that, that is just a dangerous, slippery slope to go down. Because Stargate fans are a dedicated brood.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of a stupid idea. Now, not that it hasn't been done. Look at Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right.
You know.
Agreed.
They just said fuck continuity and did a TV show.
I mean, look, you know, I don't know. I just think it's scary to think that he's even mentioning these two films, because with all of the crap that's being regurgitated through Hollywood these days, to think that those two are even possibilities at some point is just a frightening thought.
Clearly, he's out of the loop.
Yes. Clearly. Also out of the loop, one of just Mike's favorite people in Hollywood.
Sasha Gray?
No, Bryan Singer.
Ugh.
Oh, boy.
Piece of shit.
Bryan Singer, I'm still looking to possibly return to the X-Men franchise.
Of course he is.
I've been talking to Fox about it. I love Hugh Jackman. I love the cast. I want to come back.
Sure. You know what?
No!
And you know what?
Not sure.
They should take him back, because after the abysmal Wolverine movie and the abysmal X3, what they could really use at this point would be a killer X4.
Okay.
A killer X4 would be humongous. I'm talking feature length. I'm talking they're going to need 3 hours to sort out those fucking two movies.
All right. So here's the thing that I throw out there then at
okay.
you. Is Bryan Singer still relevant as a good director capable of saving that franchise?
Absolutely,
because because we give Bryan Singer a lot of credit for a lot of good things, right?
Uh-huh.
But what recently do we give him a lot of good credit for?
What did he do? He hasn't done anything.
Superman.
Valkyrie.
All right, what has he done since then? Valkyrie was a good flick.
Did you see Valkyrie? Not well received.
And I think that had a lot more to do with Tom Cruise than it had to do with the actual flick. The flick was good.
Okay.
The flick was good. It was well directed. It was well written. It was even well acted, all things considered. And that said, I think that had more to do with Tom Cruise and Scientology than it had to do with anything else. Because don't forget, the Germans want to kill all Scientologists. Imagine that, the Germans wanting to wipe out a group of people based on their religion. I know it's hard to conceive, but and they did not allow them to shoot in some of the actual locations and some of these other things. There was a lot of hubbub about that movie, and I think it had all to do with that and less to do with the flick, which I thought, I didn't see it in the movies either, which I regretted, and I did see it on DVD. And I'm telling you, I thought the flick was good. I don't care what anybody says. I think it was a good flick. And Bryan Singer is a good director. And I think Superman was a lot of bad decisions. Yes, by Bryan Singer. Yes, by the script writers. Yes, by the studio. But, you know, if you have to say anything about that movie, it was well directed. From a cinematic standpoint, from a cinematography standpoint, that movie looked pretty.
Oh, absolutely did.
Okay.
And let's not also forget that I give him a lot of shit. Usual Suspects. I'd be a hypocrite
pupil.
If I said I didn't like X2 when it came out. I loved X2 when it came out.
Okay. Apt Pupil.
But Usual Suspects and Apt Pupil fall right into what I was asking, because Usual Suspects was 95, Apt Pupil was 98, followed by a lot of, you know, followed by the two X-Men movies, and then a couple of things here and there, followed by Superman, and then Valkyrie, which apparently was okay, although not well received.
And
what?
House.
Yes, but he doesn't direct House.
No, he doesn't, but he is responsible for its creation, so therefore... And he did direct the pilot, didn't he?
Yes,
or
he did. He
some episodes?
I think he might have done like the third or fourth episode.
Something like that,
something
right?
Something like
that,
yeah.
The point of this is you're asking me if Bryan Singer is relevant. Yes, he's relevant. Is he a good director? Yes, he is. Was Superman a blight on his record? You bet. But name a director who doesn't have a blight on his record.
Look, I just threw it out there. Christopher Nolan. I was just...
No, I was I knew you were going to go Christopher Nolan, but I don't know. Can we get a list of his
I can tell you right now. Flicks? He directed Insomnia. He did Memento. All right.
Well, Insomnia, not the greatest film in the world.
He didn't write Insomnia. He wrote Memento. He wrote Batman Begins. He did Dark Knight, and he did the what's the magic one?
Oh my God, The Prestige.
Prestige.
That movie was
those
awesome.
Are all his directed movies.
Was that all his that all he's directed?
Main
Doodlebug following, which we're not, no one really knows him for, Memento and then Insomnia. And then Batman Begins, The Prestige, The Dark Knight, and now he's working on Inception
with Leo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Leo
DiCaprio. So here's what I'll say. I'll say of that group, Insomnia was not a good flick. And if everybody has to have a blight, that's his.
It's the closest on that list he has to one.
Right.
I'll agree with
that. All right, but take it in context, Mike. Compare it to the rest of his films.
Right.
Clearly, Insomnia is the weak film.
Different tier.
And in the case of Bryan Singer, clearly Superman is the weak film. But the rest of them are all solid. So there you go.
Okay.
And so, yes, I think he's relevant. I think if Fox can get him back, and if they will give him a free hand to fix the fucking Ratner disaster that was X3, and
you
what
said a dirty word,
and whoever the fuck directed Wolverine, I can't remember. But I mean, now clearly Wolverine is a prequel to the first X-Men film, and that's fine. But you know, there's no reason why they can't integrate
Gavin Hood.
Yes, there's no reason why they can't integrate the terrible things in the Wolverine movie, in a good way into the X-Men universe, and thus do an X4 that could be a really solid flick with Bryan Singer. So,
okay,
there, that's my rant.
World of Warcraft.
We don't talk about video games on this show.
Not talking about video games.
Nope.
We're talking about future films.
Oh, good gravy.
We already know this is coming out. We already know Sam Raimi is signed to direct, and now we have a writer for the screenplay, and it is Robert Rodat. Do you know what else he wrote?
No.
Saving Private Ryan.
Okay. That's no, I can...
I mean, that's interesting.
That's, it's, you know, and in all seriousness, I guess it's not a terrible choice. I mean, that was a well-written flick.
I know.
And I'm thinking about the epicness of Saving Private Ryan from a story perspective and what must be the same sort of tone and epicness in a World of Warcraft movie. So,
well, we got this information from an interview that Raimi did with MTV earlier in the week. And in that interview, he says not to expect a story that the fans already know, but rather something that encompasses the lands and characters of the game. But might not focus on the central characters of the game. So if it kind of has this epic big battle feel to it with new characters that he's going to focus on. Yeah. I mean, Private Ryan,
who plays Eric on True Blood, the tall blonde vampire? That guy should be Arthas.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Him.
Oh, and Skarsgård is the father. What's his name? Peter? No,
Peter Skarsgård is a younger guy who I don't think is related. Who's his father?
Stellan Skarsgård?
Yeah, he was in Good Will Hunting, right?
He's gonna be in. He's gonna be in Thor, isn't he?
No. Originally, we thought he was going to be Stellan Skarsgård, but Alexander Skarsgård. We thought was going to be Thor, but now he's not.
He was in Angels and Demons. He was in Mamma Mia. Ooh. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Oh, that's right. He played Bootstrap Bill in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. That's what he is.
So, he was... anyway, his son Alexander, I think, would be a great Arthas for that World of Warcraft movie.
Yeah, he looks just like him if you kind of just pale him up and
make his hair a little longer.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he's got that I could turn evil on a dime thing working too.
Yeah, I could see that. Did you hear the good news surrounding Dollhouse? I'm not going to even ask Kev because he doesn't watch. Do you watch Dollhouse?
No, but I know what you're... I saw the news.
So today. Fox has announced that they are going to air all 13 episodes of the planned season thus far, which was pretty significant because the ratings had been less than stellar for the show. But that being said, again, the show is being saved by DVR ratings and Hulu ratings. And this, I think this is significant because finally this week, in a couple of different stories, the networks are starting to take these ratings seriously because Dollhouse isn't the only one now.
Right.
I heard that Fringe was performing less than they wanted to, but based on DVR and Hulu ratings, it's up. Flash Forward also, which was picked up, by the way, for the remainder of the season, which really I still don't really care that much for, but
right.
I'll try to watch more of. But, you know, I kind of took a quick poll on Twitter this week, and I asked some of my followers, you know, when you watch TV, do you watch DVR, live, both? What are your preferences? And I would say just about 2/3 of the people that replied said they watch exclusively on DVR.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And not just for time constraint reasons, but that's a good reason. Like you're not home while it's on or you're watching something else while it's on. So it made me start thinking about, well, how do the networks start taking DVR more seriously and how do they make it work so that sponsors get behind it so that these shows that may not do well in regular ratings start to survive? And so then I asked a follow-up question, which was, well, if when you watched a show on DVR, you had a quick 30-second commercial at the beginning or even a minute commercial at the beginning, the same way you do if you watch something on Hulu, mm-hmm. right, for example, would you still watch it on DVR? And everybody said yes. So I think probably you're going to see some sort of forced, unskippable advertising in DVR technology in the future. And it'll probably be at the beginning of the show, just like you do when you stream something on the internet. So,
speaking of shows, did you find the alien in the episode of South Park last week?
I didn't watch last week's episode of South Park. I have it on my DVR.
Really?
How apropos.
So, how are we going to talk about it if you haven't watched
it? You can talk about it.
Here's how. Because we don't give a shit.
Exactly.
And to answer your question, yes, no, I did.
Oh, you did? Did you go to southparkstudios.com and enter the contest?
No, I didn't. I was stupid. I sat there and thought to myself, oh, I should go enter right
I
now.
Know, and I thought the same thing. But then I found out you can only do it until Thursday at 9 p.m. or something like that. You have to see it, and you have to go over and do the entry. And the grand prize, of course, is you will appear in, I think, in the opening montage of the season 14, which is not this season, but next season's season premiere or something like that. Plus your character will then be, you'll get a framed version of your character. Everybody will sign it and the complete DVD collection and a whole bunch of hoo-ah for finding the alien in these episodes. And you can only find him on the broadcast episodes, not in the reruns or online. Okay. Or I think maybe in the reruns, but not online.
On the South Park Studios?
Yeah,
thing?
you can't find him there. I think they've removed him for those items. And speaking of South Park, the episode Dead Celebrities aired last week.
Right.
I think it's the first of 7 or 8 new ones, I think is what it is.
Because it's the year of celebrity deaths?
And they were all there.
They did not miss a beat.
Mike and I were talking about it, and everybody who died in the last year was there.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Ricardo Montalban was there. B. Arthur was there. DJ AM was there.
Well, now they have to work in Captain Lou.
I think the episode is past, sir.
Didn't you say it was the first of 7 episodes?
First of 7 episodes in the new season.
Oh, I thought you meant that was going to be part of this celebrity death.
No, sir.
Bit.
Patrick Swayze.
And you know what? Because of the fact that they didn't just pick a couple to make fun of, and they made fun of all of them.
And
it makes it okay?
It makes it okay.
And celebrity death is finally funny?
As funny as all that was, the fact that they parodied Poltergeist to the level that they did was brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. You really, I mean, I know, OG, you haven't seen it yet, but man, it was brilliant. Jeez. So anyway, check out a new episode of South Park each and every Wednesday night at 10. Good show.
And I just want to wrap up this news segment with one last bit of news. I'm going to call this the Big Kev doesn't believe it'll ever happen portion of the news. Ivan Reitman is on board for Ghostbusters 3. He has not said that he will direct. He may just produce, but he is on board.
Nope.
I know you say nope.
Not gonna
happen. You always say nope to everything.
Not gonna happen.
You know, Thor still hasn't been canceled.
Yep, I know.
I'm just putting that out there. And Dollhouse getting its full 13 episodes this season.
Still,
two things you said wouldn't happen.
Still early.
All right.
Still early.
All right.
Anything can happen, sir.
I'm...
Dollhouse tanks a couple weeks in a row, they'll yank it.
They're not going to yank the 13. They'll let all 13 air out.
Okay, but then that could be the end.
That could be the end, but I'm just saying.
All that DVR and all that shit didn't help.
That didn't exist back then.
What do you mean, back when?
When that show was out. I ain't
what
saying
show?
It. I
Which
said
show,
it three
OG?
Weeks in a row. No! Take a break!
All right. And OG has a... panic attack. We will we'll take a break here and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 167, God Needed Rubber Bands.
Combo Breaker.
Combobreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to Combobreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. Combobreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your Combobreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit Combobreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's Combobreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, it's Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Stuff OG, what up, guys? Would it hurt you to mention a fucking video game in at least one episode this month, man? Like, do you guys even play video games? What kind of geeks are you? There's two huge games coming out this month, man. Brutal Legend, which I just picked up today. Did you guys pick it up? Oh, wait, I take it back. You guys didn't mention Batman Arkham Asylum. But it seems like Kev didn't even play the game, man. Get to fucking playing the games, bro. And, yeah, so talk about video games at least once for like 2 minutes. Brutal Legend, Uncharted 2, Batman Arkham Asylum, which is very geek-related. So, yeah, do it.
Did that guy identify himself?
No, listen, people. If you're going to call this show, and we appreciate when you call the show.
Unless you're... Jesse from
We even appreciate those. I kind of wish he'd call back. We haven't heard from him in a couple weeks. I'm afraid he may have OD'd.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just saying. Anyway, please give a name. It doesn't have to be your real name. Use your online persona name.
Yes.
Give yourself some sort of identifier.
Optimus One.
Yeah, whatever you want to call yourself. I don't fucking care. That being said, yes, we don't spend an exorbitant amount of time on video games on this show.
Yeah, you know,
that is the truth.
When we play something that we like, we talk about it. If something's coming out like the next expansion of World of Warcraft, which becomes the best-selling video game of all time, we talk about it.
Right.
And we're not dissing video games. It's not like none of us play them. In fact, of the three of us, just Mike spends more hours playing video games than he does doing anything else.
That's accurate.
I mean, and so
well, he's going to become our video game correspondent.
That's what it is.
Got there yet?
That's it. We're just working readjusting, and then
we got his mic working. So baby steps.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Baby steps. But I mean, that said, oh, now what are the games? Now clearly, I've played Arkham Asylum.
I love Arkham. I cleared it, and I'm still working on getting some of the riddles. But
great time.
And what I said to Just Mike earlier today was the fact that I've never played it on my own console.
Right. Yes.
I've played it on other people's console, and my version, my actual disc. Yeah. I've played on other people's consoles, but I've never actually played it at home. Right. So it's not that I haven't played it. I have, and I've played it quite a long time, and I've done some things that, you know, that are very good in the game, and I think it's great and all that jazz. Now I've played that. Now what were the Brutal Legend?
He mentioned two games that came out this week. One of which I'm really interested in picking up, and one of which I hadn't heard a ton about until this week.
And it's Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend is one of them.
Right, and this is kind of a weird cross between rock and roll and Conan.
Yeah.
Right? That dude looks like a Conan character who carries around a guitar, and that's
Jack
his
Black.
Weapon.
It's Jack
right?
Black.
Right, it's based on Jack Black.
Yeah. And it's this big, muscular dude, and he voices it, right? Doesn't he voice it, Jack Black?
I think he sings, voices,
yeah,
everything.
I think he does all of it, sir. And he uses his guitar as his weapon, as his axe. Get it?
Ba-dum-bum.
and that's his weapon, and there's this big world and everything else, and la-di-da. I heard a lot of good things about it. It looks very funny. Hey, guess what, caller? Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. It's a little silly for me. It's like, what was those Oddworld, Abe's Exodus, those fucking commercials
that they played? Oddworld.
Remember they played those commercials ad nauseum? I realized I just dated myself. Wasn't it like 93 or 4 when that game came? But the point is that I don't like cutesy games. I've never liked cutesy games. And when you have a guy running around with a guitar bashing things around and la la la, it's just not my cup of tea, sir. Not my cup of tea.
Uncharted is the other one. That's the one I'm really interested in. I just haven't been to the store yet to even consider picking it
up. Now, Just Mike has played Uncharted.
I bought it the day it came out.
Now, how would you describe this game? Because the way it's been described to me was it's a Tomb Raider kind of game. But that said, I didn't like any of the Tomb Raider fucking games.
Well, it's a little bit of Metal Gear Solid type, mixed with Tomb Raider, but the story is amazing.
It's kind of Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, very Indiana Jones-ish, where it's a legend, and it involves Marco Polo and the Lost Fleet, and it's like, do you know how in a lot of gameplays, the video breaks in, the cinema breaks in, like in Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah.
The thing about this game is it uses the full memory on the Blu-ray disc, and it allows you to play the movie, essentially.
Wow.
So the graphic that you see in the movie is the graphic that's in the game.
Well, that's nice.
It's incredible, the graphics in it.
I should say I did like the Metal Gear series. I've always liked them, even when they were like really hacky and not good, but I really liked them even then.
Talk about cutesy games. You know what I heard they're redoing or coming out? Do you remember a game way back, A Boy and His Blob? Does anybody remember this game? A Boy and His Blob? You played a little kid, and you had his little blob, and you would throw him different kinds of jelly beans.
No,
and based
on
the jelly
that.
Bean, he would turn into different things, like a trampoline or a rocket or a bridge.
Sounds like a bad acid trip that you might have gone on one time.
They are redoing A Boy and His Blob. I read this online.
Are they doing it for the iPhone?
No. It's a console game. I just don't remember what console it was for, if it's multiple. But anyway.
In any event, so if those two games that you've mentioned here, or the three games, not including Arkham Asylum, because clearly I've played and enjoyed that one, but if the other two games are not my bag of tea, and they're not OG's cup of juice, and they're not Just Mike's taste in China, then what would we do? Now, if those guys, you know, brought those things in and they made the cut for what gets on the show, what do you think, sir? These are the only things that happen this week? These are the only stuff that happens is only the stuff we talk about? There's a ton of stuff. We try to only do an hour a week. Therefore, sometimes we got to pick and choose. That's all I'm saying.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
Good. Let's just do it.
A little angry.
Let's get right into DVDs. We're mixing it up. And there's many reasons for wanting to talk about DVDs this week. Not the least of which is Drag Me to Hell, the unrated director's cut. This is Sam Raimi's return to horror flicks, where he got his start. In a creepy flick, which some people say is the scariest movie ever made.
I don't know about all that.
Well, I heard it's very frightening, and then of course now everyone's saying that about Paranormal Activity. So, but that said, a Sam Raimi movie is a movie you want to watch. Sam Raimi, yeah, I know. Sam and Ivan Raimi wrote it. Sam directed it. It looks like a good time. I didn't get to see it in the theater. Justin Long is in it amongst other people, and so yeah, there it is. Drag Me to Hell. The unrated director's cut comes with the unrated and the theatrical version. Plus, it has video production diaries is the only special thing on this disc.
Okay,
interesting. And I also picked up The Proposal.
Woo!
Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, because let's be honest, Ryan Reynolds is one of the funniest motherfuckers in the world, and Sandra Bullock is naked in this movie. So, two good reasons to give. No, and I heard the flick was really good, too. I mean, I'm not even lying about that. I really heard the flick was funny, so okay. I wanted to give it a shot. Didn't get to see it in the theater. Big effing surprise there. So there it is, The Proposal. Let's talk about what happened to me this morning.
All right, there were a couple others, too, that we should mention that came out before we get to that.
Not this morning. What happened to me the other day. That's it.
Let's talk about two other things that came out people might want to check out. Land of the Lost came out this week,
That's
too.
Right. I was going to mention that.
And also The Mighty Boosh Special Edition DVD. This was a BBC kind of sketch comedy show that has this huge cult underground following. And I've seen a couple of it. A couple things of it on YouTube, and some of it is really bizarre and funny, and I actually may be interested in picking it out, but it is Mighty Boosh Special Edition DVD Seasons 1 and 3 out this week.
And we also want to mention the long-awaited release of a Dylan McDermott movie called Hardware.
Yes, I saw that was out
the
this
early 90s. I think it was actually 1990. Post-apocalyptic, I think a little brilliant little piece of science fiction slash... A little horror elements in it of a movie, and they've released it in regular and on Blu-ray. So there it is. That's one of those movies you find in boot form at every convention for the last, 20 years?
Exactly.
And now it is finally available in a great release on regular and Blu-ray. So check that out. Now, the other day when I did my DVD shopping, I saw the complete Futurama 1999 to 2009.
Yo, I want that. I don't care.
Which comes in a 1:1 scale Bender head.
Yes.
It's $130, and I bought it.
Because it's awesome.
Right.
The complete series, all of the movies that have been released thus far.
Right.
Nice set.
A lot of features, a lot of things attached to it. I got it. And 25 minutes later, I returned it.
That's sad.
I know. And I really couldn't. You know what it was? I just couldn't. In the end, I just couldn't justify $130 for it. Which, in the end, probably would. You know, if you priced out. Well, not if you price out box sets. Because you can buy box sets of these TV shows these days for $20. Yes. $25 for Futurama. And there were, three seasons? Four seasons? In the original run?
Four
seasons. So that's
plus
maybe,
four movies.
Yeah, so that's maybe $80. What are the movies? $10? So,
No, more than that.
Are they?
Yeah, I think they were closer to like 20 or 25.
All right, so maybe you're saving a bit. You're getting more stuff. The 1:1 scale Bender head holder is a very nice item.
To me, that's the piece, is the head.
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't, I had it in my hands, and I sat in my truck, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I couldn't do it. And then I returned it. What stinks is, of course, is that in the entire region of Best Buy, I found out there were only two of these things.
Oh, Jesus.
And I had one of them.
And then returned
it. And then returned it.
You're that guy.
To a different store than the one I bought.
Oh, even worse.
So some poor sucker went to the Paramus Best Buy looking for the head, and it was bought and already at the West Patterson.
That's terrible.
25 minutes later, I returned it. So it seems like a great set. If you're a fan, I'm sure you're going to want it. I am a big fan. I just couldn't get there, especially after our big discussion last week about money and everything else. And, you know, I got to save.
I understand.
I got to buy used Futurama box sets for $8-$9.
I feel you. I understand.
To fill out my set because I got to save $2,000 for this ship.
All right.
Or whatever. Just Ow. Saying. I know.
I can't wait till you buy it so I can see it.
Tapped out.
You know what? There will be a viewing fee.
Oh,
just
no.
Mike. Yeah. I haven't decided. I'm floating a rumor right now that fee might be $3, but then I will wait, and when I actually have it, mysteriously that fee will bump to like $5. So
I'm gonna come in this place with my eyes closed. I ain't mistaken.
That's right. And
if
you just kind of glance in the direction and I think you saw it, you paying.
Fuck that.
Maybe. I haven't decided yet. But the point is, getting back to the Futurama DVD, I couldn't complete set, I should say. Beautiful set. If you're a fan, it's absolutely a must-buy for you. It was a must-buy for me, but then I needed to return it. So, and maybe again at some point in the future, maybe I'll pick it up. Maybe I'll pick it up on discount or clearance at some point in the future, and maybe I'll feel better about it then. But right now, I just couldn't do it.
Okay.
But it is a beautiful set.
All right.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Right into it.
Yes. Let's not waste any time like we have in the past few weeks. Comics to check out this week include Amelia Rules, A Very Ninja Christmas.
Nice.
Now,
is Gowney going to be at Big Apple Con?
I don't know.
And we already went to Big Apple Con.
Oh, was Gowney at Big Apple Con? Did I miss him? Good catch, Just Mike. Learning.
You have me here for a reason. We're not sure what it is, but it's there.
This is portions of this work were previously published in Amelia Rules, The Whole World's Crazy, originally published in 2006, and Amelia Rules, Funny Stories, originally published in 2007, both by Renaissance Press. So there's some elements of this book that are reprints, but there are some elements that are brand new, 2009 monikers, if you will. Amelia Rules, if you haven't read it, is a great book in the tradition, I will say, in the tradition of the other great comic strips that we've talked about on this program, like Calvin and Hobbes, like Bloom County. It really is that kind of that sort of humor, but in a more geek setting, and the lead character is a girl. So if you're going to talk about a strip that has something for everybody, I think Amelia Rules is really, really, really key. And you can check it all out over at ameliarules.com, A-M-E-L-I-A, rules.com. Check that out over there. A couple of comics we'd like you to check out this week in the regular comic version thing. The Anchor, number one, by Phil Hester. I love Phil Hester. Phil Hester is a great writer, and he is a great artist. And anything that he writes and draws, I like to check out. Now, my only question is, did he draw... Just Mike, do you know, did he draw this book?
I'm not sure. I picked it up, but I don't know.
Oh, you picked up the other cover?
Yeah.
I got the cover A. It actually is written by Phil Hester, and the art is by Brian Cirilia. And it is somewhat reminiscent of a bunch of different things, Hellboy included. It's called The Anchor. It's from Boom Studios, good company, Boom Studios, and it's number one, so check that out. From DC, it's The Shield, number two. Eric Trautman, Marco Ruddy, and Mick Gray are bringing us the ongoing Adventure of the Shield. This is from the Red Circle line of books. They were relaunched by J. Michael Straczynski as one-shots, and then good writers and artists came on to do the ongoing series.
Nothing
features,
but hate.
Sir, what?
I said nothing but hate.
No, I love these. I think these are great. I don't like Straczynski, but this stuff is pretty good. The second feature, a great new thing DC Comics is doing, features Inferno, one of the other Red Circle characters. So check that out. It's The Shield number two. Red Robin, number 5. Chris Yost and Raymond Bachs bringing us this. And it says, Pupil of Ra's al Ghul, question mark? Does Mike have any insight there?
Is that a what-if book?
I think so.
You have any insight there, Just Mike, on the whole Ra's al Ghul?
Well, Red Robin is traveling the world, so I would imagine that he came in contact with Ra's al Ghul.
Bumps into Ra's al Ghul. Yes. Good. There we go. Marvel Projects.
All right.
What?
Marvel Projects?
The Marvel Project, sir.
Oh.
The Marvel Project, number 3. Ed Brubaker.
I thought this was something about substandard living. I'm sorry.
This is. It's good. This is the 40. This is the 1940s era book about the original Marvel characters.
The entire Marvel universe starts selling cocaine on drug corners.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it's the next big Marvel crossover book. It's the follow-up to Civil War.
But really what this book is doing is it's rewriting Marvel's origin, right?
Again. Yes.
Just Mike?
Yes.
I would say that. Again. From DC, it's Batman Detective Comics Annual number 11. And this one is guest starring Azrael and The Question.
Is Azrael still around? I'm out of the
Batman. It's a new Azrael.
Movie. Oh, okay.
It's a new Azrael.
And next week he has a new series coming out, number 1.
Are they going to do that ongoing?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I like him that much. Here's my problem.
I liked him better as Gargamel's cat.
Very. Wow, you are right on with the... you're Dennis Miller-like in your referencing tonight, sir.
Sorry.
Let me tell you what I don't like about this book. This book, Detective, has featured The Question. Was it The Question and Batwoman?
The Question is the backup.
Right.
To the Batwoman story.
And the Batwoman story. Batwoman doesn't look like she appears at all in this, and it's the chick question. Mm. It seems like it's good. Fabian Nicieza, Tom Mandrake, you can't go wrong with those two names. Moving on, DC Batman 691 continues Judd Winnick and Mark Bagley's run on the book. Just Mike, comments?
Batman double ships this month. That is the end of their arc. And Tony Daniels starts at the end of this month. The way this story is ending is Two-Face has traveled through time and space and has infiltrated the Batcave, which I thought set up was a very good end to last month's issue where, the giant penny in the Batcave?
Right.
It had the one side of it was scratched, and Dick Grayson saw it and shit himself.
So there it is. Batman 691. Check that out. And finally, we want you to check out in comics this week, Uncanny X-Men 516. It's the return of Magneto, for the fourth or fifth time? Or something, right?
Or eighth time.
I just am is this book ever going to get good again?
Nope.
It's so out of hand, man. So out of hand. It's a damn shame. But Uncanny X-Men 516, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, kids. And just a book we want you to check out. This is Dr. Seuss and Company Go to War, the World War II editorial cartoons of America's leading comic artists.
Didn't that come out already like 15 years ago?
I think that was just focusing on Dr. Seuss, that particular one. I think that was a collection of his cartoons. This one features cartoons by like 15 guys. And a lot of names you've heard. Al Hirschfeld, John Groth, Matt Green, Eric Goodell, Daniel Fitzpatrick. A lot of guys who were around. Leo Hirschfeld also. Guys who were around during the war. It's the politics. It's more covering more of the cartoons that were being done during the war from a broader sense. I think in that earlier book, I think it was just Dr. Seuss. This kind of broadens it out a little bit.
Ah, all right.
I think that's what the difference
is. Cool.
So anyway,
you're a Seuss fan?
I think if you're a comic strip fan, political cartoon fan at the very least, this one's going to run you about $30. It's a hardcover book. It's a very beautiful collection. They have a lot of strips reprinted inside, and some other text and other historical notations. And it's a great book. Cartoons, comic strips, been with us throughout the decades and have an interesting viewpoint on the history of the U.S. and of the world. And so, therefore, a book like this, which compiles those viewpoints, is an excellent resource, sir. That's what I'm saying.
Neil Gaiman news this week.
Oh?
Neil Gaiman is on the Twitter. He uses it very often.
Yes.
And in conjunction with BBC Audiobooks America, last week, he started a Twitter novel where he launched a single sentence to start a novel through his Twitter account and then invited other people who follow him and use Twitter to continue the novel a sentence at a time. And this is going to run for, I think, a couple weeks. And at the end, it's going to be compiled by BBC Audiobooks America and released in a complete form.
Wow.
But I think that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, Gaiman using the technology, you know, obviously anything Neil Gaiman works on, we're interested in. And so we'll follow that a little bit more closely when we get some information about the release. But
I want my sentence in.
Well, then you have to follow Neil Gaiman on Twitter.
And then the world ended.
That's your sentence? Release that as the first sentence in there. Just end it right away.
That was the beginning of, what was that animated movie? Titan A.
Oh, yeah. I remember. That
was the beginning of that movie. Was the end of the world. Yeah. Were you able to read that last book that he put out?
No, I haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, but it's on my list of things.
Oh, wait, Matt, I hate to cut you off there, but that is the D&D intro music. Yes, and I think it's time for us to talk about to do our D&D update for the week.
Okay.
And this, of course, is our ongoing exploration of the brand new fourth edition of Dungeons & Dragons from our friends over at Wizards of the Coast. To see and check out the product we're talking about tonight, or all products from Dungeons & Dragons, go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tonight we're going to talk really quickly about Revenge of the Giants, sir. You may remember a really thicko module from the old days called Against the Giants.
Right.
I think it was actually, it might have been triple length. It was like three modules or something like that. Do you remember any of this?
No.
Against the Giants? Well, this is now Revenge of the Giants, an adventure for characters of 12th through 17th level. Why is this significant?
Do any of these giants get burned and then later get voiced by James Earl Jones? Just need to know now.
Giants?
Just making a Revenge of the...
Oh, I see.
Go ahead.
You're
interrupting me, Books.
I'm pausing because I want to give the audience a chance to laugh. And
I don't
regain...
want them to laugh. I just wanted to interrupt
No,
you.
No,
like
I want them to
regain
their composure and then be able to listen to the product. Okay. In any event, what is significant about the Revenge of the Giants is that it is a Paragon tier adventure in hardcover format.
All right.
Now, this is the first time that this has happened that I'm aware of. That they've, well, certainly first time in fourth edition, where they've done a module. This is a module. This is an adventure or a series of adventures that has been issued in a hardcover format. Now, I'm interested to know why they did this. And of course, it comes with everything you need, including some tipped in maps in the back,
woo-hoo,
which you pull out and you use to play these particular adventures. And then It is literally pages and pages and pages of storyline, adventure hooks, encounters for different areas, and anything else that you could possibly want from what we would consider a regular module, except this one is easily twice to three times the amount of information of a given module.
Maybe that's why it's hardcover.
Yes.
More information.
That's what I'm saying. Let me give you a little flavor text, sir. Earth giants, frost giants, fire giants. When the giants strike out to raid and destroy the civilized lands, it becomes apparent that something much larger and more dangerous lurks in the background. A group of adventurers must locate the spark that has ignited the spreading fire and find a way to snuff it out before it engulfs the world. Doop-de-doo.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I think it's. I think this is a great idea.
Does it say what level that, you know how we've been talking about, like, the level of characters that these modules apply to?
Uh-huh, this is a Paragon tier adventure, which is characters of level 12 through 17.
I was going to say, this has to be a higher level campaign.
Yeah.
You don't fight giants at level 4.
Exactly. And we eventually will get to this book when we eventually have a game, when our contest for this month becomes a reality.
Right.
And let's take the time now to talk about that contest, shall we, really quick?
Sure.
It's our Bring Back to the East Coast Our Friends at October Toys and Toy Break. We want you to go to the interweb and dial up geekstuffog@gmail.com and write us an email, which we are going to forward the best three, winner, runner-up, and honorable mention, over to October Toys, telling them why they should bring their business from L.A. back to the East Coast, where at least one of them is from. And this is entirely personal. We just want them to come back so we can play D&D with them and have fun with them because they're cool people.
Right.
So there it is. Go over, and what do we got? 2 weeks left in that contest,
correct,
right? And then we have several entries so far. We'd like a bunch more, so go ahead and do that. The prize for this one, very significant. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give away more than that.
Okay.
So, once again, the D&D product tonight is Revenge of the Giants hardcover. Going to run you about $30.
Nice.
But you figure it's at least two, almost three times a normal size module, and it's in hardcover, so that's a good value. Got everything in you need, everything in it that you need. Check it out over at dndinsider.com. Letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D
Geek Stuff product reviews.
And rolling right into product reviews, we really only have one product that I want to talk about this week really quick. It's the Marvel Select Captain Marvel action figure. Now, we haven't talked a lot about these Marvel Selects in a while.
I almost thought they went away. Yeah. I had pretty much forgotten about the line. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, their quality control has certainly gone away.
Oh, wow.
Because they're terrible.
Price of plastic.
Well, yeah. Price of quality control, apparently. And what we have here, the one I actually wanted to talk about here is the variant. It's him in the Kree armor outfit with the starry body suit looking thing and the pistol. It's more the armored version. Is that what you would call that, Just Mike?
Yes, I'd say that.
Right, and then the normal version, of course, the red and black suit, which everybody knows, with his long, flowing, blonde, not dead hair floating out.
It's a cool piece.
Yeah, it is. And
it's a cool concept.
And the reason I got it is exactly that, what Just Mike said. It's a cool concept piece. The execution, of course, not so good. Mm. But that said, I think Marvel figures in this scale, which, by the way, is larger than Legend scale, we have decided.
Yes.
By what? An inch or a half an inch larger? Something like that, which I don't understand. I don't understand how come DC Direct can do 6-inch figures and have Mattel do 6-inch figures, yet the Marvel Select pieces are all humongous versus their Marvel Legends counterparts. So, that said, I just think it's unfortunate that this wasn't a better piece, but for what it is, it's pretty good. If you like the character, and particularly this variant version of him, I thought was really cool, then you're going to want to pick it up. It's Marvel Select Captain Marvel, and this is the variant version of Captain Marvel. So I think that's it product-wise, right?
Nice.
Just wanted to plug that home. And with that, let's take our final break. And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 167, God Needed Rubber Bands.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey guys, this is Brian O'Halloran from Clerks, Clerks 2, Brutal Massacre, whole bunch of films.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen, he's a geek, I'm a geek, I know this kind of stuff.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. You sound like an asshole!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 167, God Needed Rubber Bands. So named because sadly this week we lost the loving, wonderful wrestling manager, Mario himself, Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah, he did play the live-action Mario.
He did, on that TV show.
Terrible TV show.
Not in the movie. That was, what's his name? Bob Hoskins.
Yes.
Did it in the movie. What else did we talk about tonight? The screenwriter for Spider-Man 4, also going to be writing the Venom movie. Roland Emmerich, for some reason, is trying to, or is possibly interested in seeing sequels to franchises that should stay dead, as far as he is concerned. Bryan Singer is interested in coming back and maybe breathing life back into the X-Men franchise. Saving Private Ryan Ryder will be writing the World of Warcraft movie. South Park this week was good, although I didn't watch it, so I didn't find the alien, so I'm not going to win the contest. And Ivan Reitman, even though Kevin doesn't believe it, is going to be involved in Ghostbusters 3. We just don't know how yet.
Uh-huh.
In segment two of tonight's show, we took a phone call from unnamed phone caller.
Yes.
And if you want to leave us a phone call, anything we may have talked about tonight or any things you want to hear us talk about in general, maybe tell us what you thought about the Big Apple Con. We loved it.
A great time.
Awesome time. Great time.
Saturday night was a little sketchy.
A little bit. You can give us a call at 425-920-6050. Leave us a voicemail, and you may be heard on an upcoming episode of the show.
How did a moth get into Studio A?
I don't know. This is outrageous.
We're going to speak to the landlord.
All right. Mike?
outrageous. We also talked about some DVDs that you should check out this week. They included Drag Me to Hell from Sam Raimi, The Proposal from Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, also Hardware, old sci-fi movie with Dylan McDermott. Old sci-fi, it's fucking 1990, I think. And
it's 20 years.
It is. And we also talked about the complete Futurama 1999 to 2009 in the 1-1 scale Benderhead.
Also out, Land of the Lost and The Mighty Boosh, seasons 1 through 3 on DVD this week.
In comics, we asked you to check out Amelia Rules, A Very Ninja Christmas, The Anchor, number 1, The Shield, number 2, Red Robin, number 5, The Marvel Project, number 3, Batman Detective Comics Annual, number 11, Batman 691, X-Men 516, and the hardcover book Dr. Seuss and Company Go to War, A Great History of the wartime cartoons from a lot of great artists. Also in our D&D segment tonight, we talked about the brand new hardcover module, Revenge of the Giants. It's got everything you need in it for a great long-time adventure from level 12 to 17. Terrific, terrific stuff. Check that out over at dndinsider.com. Letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And also tonight, or finally tonight, rather, we talked about the Captain Marvel, Marvel Select figure, the green and black variant figure. A great piece, but not a great piece. So there it is. That's everything we did tonight. And we did it in a shorter time than we did last week.
Don't forget, you can check us out over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
where we have each and every single episode along with some video content. We have all of our t-shirts. We have our t-shirts still for sale over there. They are still available. You can also check us out over at Geekerdomes, geekerdome.com. It's a great network of blogs and shows and webcomics, etc.
Things.
Etc. You can also find us on Twitter, BK Geekstuff on Twitter. I'm Geekstuff OG on Twitter. And Just Mike is Just Mike BKGS on Twitter. So you can find all of us over there as well.
Is there someone following you on Twitter as Just Mike BKGS?
That is my name, sir.
That's his name.
I know. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking you.
Oh, we have. I have over 100, sir.
Wow.
Even though 2/3 of them are porno bot advertisements. But...
Oh, nice.
I'm almost at 600.
That's very impressive.
Almost 600 porno bots?
Yes. Yes. All porno. All Sasha Grey. 600 of them. Actually, it's a lot of Britney sucks cock.
That, I've noticed that, too. Noticed that too. Always, they're big on the Britney fucking video.
Yeah. There's a Britney fucking video?
I don't think it really exists. Maybe only in the Twitterverse.
Oh.
I don't know. And I think that about wraps it up. We want to thank everybody that came up to us at Big Apple Con and met us. We had a great time. It was a pleasure meeting all of you. And hopefully we'll see you at a con in the future.
I would like to thank Marie for our quality alone time on Saturday. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Just saying.
All right.
And with that, of course, we throw it to Just Mike. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 167, God Needed Rubber Bands?
I'd like to thank all you guys for buying me drinks and food on a Saturday night. That was really nice of you.
And on that note, we cue the music.